In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Kind of running out of ways to twist the old narrative balloon animal into a recognizable shape here. The Sox have now lost their GM, their playoff chances, and five games in a row these last few days. We all know this season is turning into Anchorman 2, right? A sequel with the same cast of characters from the original cast, but just very different results. We'll go off the grid a little again today, as we did a day ago, because this nowhere season now includes an 8-0 loss to the still-could-lose-100 Blue Jays, played Wednesday up in Canada. So strap yourselves in. We're going to podcast anyway. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast.
Well aware, this season has quickly deteriorated into one of those cartoons where you open a closet door in your hallway and a whole bunch of tennis rackets and winter gloves and maybe even a bowling ball just falls down on your head. The Red Sox are inching closer not to the playoffs, but to a .500 record. So, into Wednesday's game at Rogers Center. We knew the Sox had scored only 9 runs in the last 4 games. Make it 9 runs in 5 games now. Even noted Blue Jays killer Rafi Devers was reduced to putty, having popped out to end the game on Tuesday. Not much happening Wednesday. He had 1 of 2 hits for the Red Sox in an 8-0 loss. Josh Lewin with you. Hey, Brock Holt had the other hit. Two more Toronto home runs from Blue Jays who have turned the Sox into their own personal hand puppets this year. Quick aside, you guys like hand puppets? I got to tell you this story. I don't got to, but I'm going to. I was thinking of what's an inventive holiday gift or birthday gift for the missus. Something she'd never expect and would be kind of cute. You know, get her some jewelry too or something, obviously. But I came up with hand puppets. I thought, like, you know, you get these personalized hand puppets. They're expensive as hell. But, like, one that looks like me, one that looks like her, a couple that look like her kids, couple that look like my kids, one that looks like the dog. So I blurted that out as an idea, and she hated it. I mean, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being really hate it, it was like a 15. Like, oh, my God, if you do that, we're not married anymore. I didn't see the problem with hand puppets. I thought that was kind of a cute idea. Anyway, Teoscar Hernandez, 8 for 28, 4 home runs against the Red Sox this year, 10 runs scored somehow. Rowdy Tellez, 16 for 36 against the Sox with 7 home runs, 13 runs scored. This guy is 1 of 11 against Cleveland this year, okay? 3 for 23 against Minnesota, 1 for 19 against Houston, 5 for 23 against the Yankees. So against the current playoff-y type teams, 10 for 76, no home runs. But against the Red Sox, he's hitting about .470 with 7 home runs. This game was started by really a pair of openers. It was Bobby Pointer against Wilmer Font. So let's just say the Blue Angels didn't parachute in for the national anthems here. The Goodyear blimp was not requested. Pointer's 17th ever start going back to his senior year of high school. And you know what? He wasn't bad. 2 scoreless innings. In fact, the last 3 times the Sox have done this silly opener thing, it's a combined 6 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. That's the law firm of Lakins, Shaheen, and Pointer, if you're scoring at home. Speaking of scoring, the box score, I guess what you need to know is, well, we mentioned only two hits. Trevor Kelly took the loss. He allowed three hits, two runs in this one, did strike out three. Ryan Weber is a guy that really got blasted. He had pitched well up at Skydome earlier this year, but I guess the Blue Jays watched some tape because he threw 15 pitches, gave up five hits, and four runs. The pitchers in this game, Pointer, Kelly, Weber, Johnson, Lakins, Velasquez, and Schwarn. Possibly the most random grouping of Red Sox pitchers that no one will ever remember since, I'm going to throw out 2002. I mean, this was like Rolando Araujo starting with relief work from Sonny Kim, Paxton Crawford, Todd Erdos, and Alan McDill. The winner for Toronto, Trent Thornton, who sure has been either or against the Sox this year. First game, 6 1/3, two runs, was very tough to hit. Then it was 2 innings, 7 runs, an inning and a third, 5 runs. This time, 5 innings, no runs, and 7 strikeouts. Oh, and no extra base hits in this game for the Red Sox. First time in 159 games going back to last year. They got within a handful of the major league record, stonewalled by Wilmer Font and a cast of mediocres, including Trent Thornton. After the game, Alex Cora saying this.
It's been tough the last week, to be honest with you. If you start looking at our lines, it's 9 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, no walks, 1 walk. We're not controlling the strike zone right now. Today was fastball up, breaking balls down. We didn't make adjustments. We didn't get on top of the fastball. We swung and missed at the breaking ball, and it was an easy game for the pitching staff.
Do you think the guys are deflated, tired, or just going through a rut?
I mean, we can say all of the above. You know, we didn't expect to be in this situation, but I mean, the effort is there, but the results are not. But obviously everybody's disappointed at what's going on. You know, and you know, he hasn't been good the last 10 days offensively.
Probably player
was
comfortable starting
tonight,
but
to see him. Yeah, I mean. We made some adjustments throughout the season with him, and although the numbers didn't look great down there in AAA, he's going to spots that, you know, he's going to get some swings and misses and induce people to weak contact. And you can see the confidence. You know, that's a kid we saw last year early in the season, you know, kind of like grab it and throw it and use your fastball up in his zone and expand with the changeup, and his slider got better. He's done an outstanding job since he got here. It was good to see him going multiple innings too, and facing lefties and righties. So that's the closest he's been to what he was last year. So we're very happy for him.
Okay. What'd you see on the pop up by BGO in the fourth?
I mean, that's kind of like the play the other day with Brock and JD. You know, pop up priority. You know, it's the shortstop of the third baseman, the second baseman of the first baseman, the corner outfielders over the infielder. And, you know, Rafi has made that play a lot of times, but he was in the shift. It was a long ways. It was a long ways to Benny, but I think Benny should have taken over.
Yep. You know, like you said, you weren't expected to be in this spot. You have 16 games left. What would you like to see from the team over this last?
Play good baseball. You know, it doesn't matter. Nothing changes. You know, preparation is the same. And the conviction is the same. We got to play good. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for. You know, we're not going to punt. Obviously, we're going to take care of players and all that. But we're talented enough to win games, you know, and that's what we're trying to do.
Alex, do you think there was an emotional letdown after what happened with, you know, they let Dave go? And obviously, that's a sign that the team.
We haven't talked about. I mean, obviously, it's something that, you know, you don't expect. It's like, you know, when you release a player or you fire a manager, and it's this case, you know, it was a lot bigger. But you know, probably they talk about it between them. But you know, they're still the same. You know, you see them before the game and after the game, during the game. You know, it's the same. It's just, you know, we haven't been able to catch up with fastballs, and we're expanding with breaking balls down in the zone, and we have to do a better job with them.
All right, that's the manager. Here's what I'm looking at right now in a very crazy American League this year. You have the haves, the have-nots, and the Red Sox. The Red Sox are their own sovereign entity in the American League. Here are your haves. You've got the Yankees, 95-51. You got Tampa Bay, 87-59. They're actually still just 8 games behind the Yankees. Minnesota and Cleveland, 89-85 wins. The Astros have 95. The A's already have 85. So you got a bunch of 600 to 660 kind of teams. Then you've got the under 500s. You've got the Blue Jays, who we mentioned could lose 100. The Orioles are very close to losing 100, though they somehow creamed the Dodgers on Wednesday. White Sox will lose 90. Royals will lose 100. Tigers have already lost 100. Rangers are under 500. Angels under 500. Mariners could possibly lose 100. There's only one other team, and that's the Red Sox, who were the only middle ground unit in the entire American League at 76-70. That's a normal record in the National League. The Phillies have that record. The Mets have that record. The Brewers have that record. The Diamondbacks have that record. Until recently, the Giants had that record. It's very tough to explain, but it's just weird. They're just kind of an island among either great or not so great in the American League. Just their own little no man's land. So to pass some time on the rest of the podcast without having to do deep dives into why the pitching suddenly stinks and even the top four guys in the batting order can't hit, yesterday I did a dive instead into a favorite Red Sox season. I told you guys 1999 was kind of my coming of age Red Sox season. As a guy who had not grown up a Red Sox fan, but a Mets and Orioles and even tangentially a Tigers fan. So I mentioned 2002 a little while ago, and that obviously was not a very strong year. But 2003, I want to kind of just go back and free associate a bit, because if you go back and look, I mean, obviously the easy thing to do would be to do a retrospective on 2004 or any of the other World Series seasons. I know 2003 ended with a gut punch. I get it. But what a wildly entertaining season that was. Nearly a quarter of their wins coming in their final at bat. That was a season of cowboy up. We'll get back to that in a sec. Bill Miller won the batting title. His emergence is why they traded Shea Hillenbrand for Byung-Hyun Kim, which was huge, of course. We're coming up on the anniversary of maybe the most dramatic and meaningful comeback of that season. We're about a week away from it, I guess. Maybe a week and a half. That's when they were down 5-2 with one strike left to them. And Todd Walker homered into the visitors' bullpen against the Orioles' Jorge Julio. And Ortiz walked it off with a home run in the 10th. The ALDS, I was actually at a lot of it. I was working for Fox then as a sideline reporter, so I actually got to talk to, it was Derek Lowe. I was going to say, who did I talk to after Game 5? It was Derek Lowe after the best sinker ever to strike out Terrence Long. So, and I still don't know why Adam Melhuis pinch hit for Jermaine Dye. Thank you for Ken Maka for doing that. So that was the ALDS. I was not around for the ALCS, but obviously remember Game 3, Pedro against Clemens, Pedro hitting Kareem Garcia in the back. The Red Sox grounds crew member got in the fight with Jeff Nelson. The Sox forcing Game 7 with the 9-6 win in Game 6, had the big late home run by Trot Nixon to pull away. Game 7, Mike Mussina's first relief appearance was a beauty. Got out of the first and third, nobody out jam in the fourth when Clemens faltered. And that set up the comeback off Pedro when Grady Little left him in too long, blah, 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 and ultimately the home run by Aaron Boone off Wakefield, leading off the bottom of the 11th. I've never done a take on the podcast about the whole Grady Little-Pedro thing, because why? I mean, this was back in 03. But it's a criticism that rang a little hollow to me, because all season long, the bullpen was the bane of the Boston Ball Club. I mean, you guys were there, I wasn't. But all year, the cry was, please, Grady, don't go to your bullpen. Then in Game 7, he sticks with his star, and he loses his job. But keep in mind here, the bullpen had been getting it done in October, right up until then. 12 postseason games, I looked this up, they had a 1.3 ERA at that point, including unbelievable work from Scott Williamson and Mike Timlin. Timlin set down the first 23 batters he had faced in the playoffs. And I do remember this, working for Fox, that the executives were pining for that unlikely Red Sox-Cubs World Series, and both teams got within five outs of making it happen. The legend was written that one team fell down when someone reached for a ball he shouldn't have in Chicago. The other one fell down when someone, failed to reach for a ball. And then that someone in Grady Little in Boston, that's that narrative. Steve Bartman, living in infamy in Chicago, he was a fan that reached for the ball. Grady Little did not reach for the ball, and there you kind of had the whole 03 postseason carved down to just that. The big hit of that disastrous eighth inning of Game 7, as I remember it, was the broken bat blooper by Posada. Just found that perfect patch of grass in shallow center where none of the three fielders pursuing could get to it. If that bloop fails to drop, maybe Grady Little manages the Red Sox in 04. And, of course, later on, if Aaron Boone doesn't shred his ankle in a pickup basketball game, A-Rod is likely a Red Sox, not a Yankee, and J-Lo is engaged to someone else entirely right now. But 2003 postmortem, some of the things I just looked up and thought I'd share with you. 491 slugging percentage, that was a major league record. That was better than the 27 Yankees of DiMaggio and Ruth. Six players hit at least 25 home runs. Eight players drove in at least 85. No one with more than 105, but you had eight between 85 and 105, which had never been done before. How deep was the 03 lineup? The production out of the number nine spot that year was 24 homers, 93 runs batted in. The Tampa Bay Rays that year, as the Devil Rays actually back then, from their cleanup spot, got 14 home runs and 61 runs batted in. So the Red Sox about doubled that from their ninth place hitter. I loved from afar that whole cowboy up thing, which led to the rather unsettling sight, if you don't remember, of Southies kind of parading down Lansdowne Street in Stetson hats and leather chaps. Cowboy Up, if you don't know or don't remember, it was a song by Toby Keith. It was a failed Jason Priestley rodeo movie. It's the name of a dance. It's the marketing slogan for the state of Wyoming for a while, but none of that's important right now. Finishing second again was a big deal. I do remember that because obviously they didn't win the division, didn't get home field, which ended up costing them in Game 7. But I remember saying on a Fox broadcast that summer that the Sox were becoming the Avis Rent-A-Car of pro sports. Being number two, they do try harder. Boston finishing second in its division every year, 6 years in a row. Only one longer streak than that in the history of American pro sports. That was the Detroit Lions, second in the NFL Central, or the NFC Central, I guess, 1969 to 1975. See, there's a little nugget you probably didn't know. The Sox that year, 53-28 at home, hit .316 at home, did not win the division. And I look at that 53-28 at home, and it just kind of makes me sad because the Red Sox is here 36-39 at home, which is, oh, let's just say a lot of the reason this season has gone the way it's gone. So Thursday, trying to break a five-game losing streak against a team that recently had a seven-game losing streak. Your pitching matchup, kind of interesting. It's Joelys Chacín, Milwaukee's opening day starter, now turned Red Sox vagabond, against former Red Sox Clay Buchholz. First time he'll start against the Red Sox, so that's pretty cool. It was 12 years ago that he threw that no-hitter. The 10-0 final against Baltimore, 115 pitches. Buchholz is 35 now. 12 years removed from that second ever major league start, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion, more than 1,000 big league strikeouts, and now gets to face the Sox. And, well, that's what you got. That's kind of the big circle it on your calendar moment for September 12 to finish up this road trip. And, well, not quite, actually. They finish up the American League portion of the road trip, then they hop on to Philly. Weird off day on Friday. It's just a Saturday and Sunday in Philly before they come home to face a Yastrzemski. Mike Yastrzemski and the San Francisco Giants coming in. Bruce Bochy's last tour through the American League. And I'll leave you with this. If you didn't see this weirdo stat, this was as of Tuesday, but this was incredible to me. Bruce Bochy managing from 1995 to 2019, and his all-time managerial record on that date was 1995 and 2019. That's the kind of number nonsense you just can't make up, and that's why we love baseball. Even when the Red Sox lose in Toronto 8-0. This is Josh Lewin. Talk to you again soon. Thanks for letting me yammer at you for a while. We call it Sox Daily. Bye-bye.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.